In Joshua chapter 10, we are told how that man by whom God caused the walls of Jericho to fall commanded on one occasion, and the sun stood still. By the command of a mere man, the sun stood still. We're told there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. But that was written long before Luke chapter 18 was written. In Luke chapter 18, we hear the voice of another man. In this passage, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who made the sun, brought to a stand by the cry of a man. He was stopped dead in his tracks by the cry of a soul in need. It's one thing to cause the sun, S-U-N, to stand still. But here's a man who calls God the sun to stand still. Let's read it together, beginning in verse 35. And it came to pass. I wonder if we will ever learn everything that happens comes to pass because it is brought to pass by the hand of our all-wise God. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho. Now, you'll notice as you read the narratives of these healings of blind men around Jericho, the gospel writers are very careful to tell us some were healed as the Lord Jesus came to Jericho, like this man. Another, Bartimaeus, was healed as he was going out of Jericho. Matthew speaks of two being healed. There's not a contradiction. Our Lord Jesus is here going up to Jericho. As he came nigh to Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, what a rare, blessed thing. Jesus of Nazareth is passing right this way. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood. He stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now the Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to redeem and save his people. As he came near to Jericho, he hears the cry of a poor, needy, blind beggar for mercy. At the sound of this man's cry, the scripture here tells us Jesus stood, stopped dead in his tracks. What an amazing picture we have before us. Here is the omnipotent God held fast by the cry of a needy soul for mercy. Now, try to get a picture in your mind. Our Lord Jesus set his face like a flint to go up to Jerusalem before the world began. When he came into this world, he came here to die at Jerusalem at the appointed hour. And when he came here, he left his mother's womb, saying, Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. And nothing could stop him. Nothing could cause him to pause. Nothing could hinder him. Not Herod, not the Pharisees, not his own disciples. Nothing could cause him to even pause on his way to Jerusalem. But here is one poor, needy sinner. The Lord Jesus has the weight of our eternal redemption on his heart. He has the glory of God pressing heavy on him. And he hears the cry of a needy soul. And he stops dead in his tracks. Surely there's something for us to learn here. The Son of God will never ignore. He will never refuse to hear the cry of a needy soul seeking his mercy. Did you hear me? The Son of God will never ignore. He will never refuse to hear the cry of a needy soul seeking his mercy. That means you cry to him and he won't ignore you. You seek his mercy and he will not refuse to hear you. Come boldly then to the throne of grace with this confidence that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let me show you several things in the verses we've read. Here is a man, first, who believed the testimony he heard from other men about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did so in a day when very few did. He believed the report of the men who told him what they knew about the Son of God. There's not any indication that they told him a great deal, but what they told him, he believed. There are great multitudes in these days who followed the Master because of his mighty miracles, because of the loaves and the fishes. Some followed him because they ate the bread. Some followed him because they loved it. Some followed him out of curiosity, like Zacchaeus in the next chapter, who's just curious to see who he is. Some followed him because they were convinced he is God the Son. Some followed him because they were greedy and wanting more of what they had gotten from him. Some followed him because they had experienced his grace and they worshipped him. But there were few, when all said and done, who believed the Son of God. Many, many, many who saw his miracles believed not on him. But here is a man who hears the report of a group of people, a man who never saw any of the Lord's miracles. Never saw one. He wasn't in the crowd when the Lord was dispensing omnipotence like sunlight. He wasn't there. And he hears about the Master. Now I find this remarkable. I find it remarkable. It looks to me like the first time he heard about him. First time he ever heard about him. He hears the Son of God and believes on him. Believes him. This man simply heard other men and women talking about the Savior. We're told in verse 36, hearing the multitude as they walked by, he asked what it meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, what blessed gossip. Would to God, those who hear us most often would hear us talking about our Savior. What blessed gossip. They were just gossiping about the Savior. Did you hear what he did yesterday? Did you hear what he did this morning? Remember how he broke the loaves and fishes? I wonder if he'll do that again. Remember how he healed that man, his daughter, the other day? I wonder if he'll do that again. Remember how he spoke and calmed the storm. Wonder if he'll do that today. He heard these folks talking about the Savior. Well, I wonder what he heard. I wonder what he heard. Perhaps he heard how the Master had healed others, even as many as had need of healing on that day described in Luke 9. Without question, this much I know he heard. He heard who this man is. What's all the commotion? Who are you folks talking about? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And when he calls on him, this is how he calls on him. Jesus, Savior. Not just any Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. That one everybody's been talking about. Jesus of Nazareth. You've heard about folks discussing him. This one who has come and declares himself to be God the Son. This one who is the Messiah, the fulfillment of all Scripture. Jesus, our Savior. Thou Son of David. This one spoken of long ago, whom God has ordained to sit on David's throne forever. And he calls him Lord. Lord, that I may receive my sight. He sees him as Jesus, the Savior. The Son of David, Christ the King, the Lord. Whose prerogative it is to show mercy on whom he will. Lord, that I may receive my sight. I'm certain he heard about many of the Savior's mighty miracles. But having said that, when all that said, he didn't hear too much, did he? Oh, he heard everything he needed to hear. But in the light of all the wrangling I hear about and read about and listen to folks discuss when I'm in a position where I can't get out of listening to it, he didn't hear much. Somehow I got a hunch. I've just got a hunch. He didn't hear these folks discussing how much you have to know about his righteousness. Don't think so. I don't think he heard these folks discussing how much doctrinal truth you have to have. Don't think so. I don't think he heard them discussing election or predestination. Any of those things. Any of those things. They were talking about a person. Now, this is what you got to know. Bobby, you got to know him. Did you hear me? You've got to know him, whom to know aright is life eternal. They said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. That got his attention. That got his attention. He never passed this way before. Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, the Lord. He never passed by here before. And he may never pass by here again. If I'm going to get what I need, I've got to get it now. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he believed what he heard. Now, that fact causes me to blush. This man simply believed the testimony God gave him by the lips of men who knew what they were talking about. He simply believed it. First time he heard it. I have a library full of good theology books. I have numerous books on apologetics. Lots of biographies about faithful men. And I've been reading them for 37 years. But I don't know much about this simple, plain, honest faith in the Son of God. I find it interesting that by divine inspiration, this account is given by Luke immediately after we're told in verse 34 that the disciples, when they heard all that the Lord said about what he's going to accomplish at Jerusalem in his death, they didn't understand a word. They didn't get it. But here's a blind man. First time he hears about the Master. That's it. This is the one I need. This is what I've been looking for. This is where I'll find mercy, if mercy is to be had. With unhesitating faith, he called out for mercy. The fact is, the humble, broken, contrite, needy soul believes God and walks in peace. And those who have grown so greatly that they think they're strong and knowledgeable and that don't have any real desperate need, who think they can take care of things themselves, don't know much about such faith. Now, second, if we hope for mercy, I'm talking to you who believe God. I'm talking to David Peterson, your wife, your family. I'm talking to you who don't yet know what faith is. If we hope for mercy, we must avail ourselves of every means of good God Almighty has afforded our souls. I cannot adequately stress the importance of diligence in using the means of grace God gives us. We are told that a certain man sat by the wayside begging. He sought the place where his pitiful condition was likely to attract the most attention. He didn't sit lazily at home and wait for relief to come to him, but rather he placed himself by the roadside so that anyone who could help him and might be willing to help him as he passed by might see him. There, sitting by the wayside, he heard Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Immediately, he begins to cry, cries to the Savior for mercy. And had it not been that he was there where he was at that time. Say, well, it had to be because it was predestined. Yeah, he was sitting there because he needed help. He needed help. And had he not been there as Jesus of Nazareth passed by, he would not have obtained the mercy he needed. If you care for your soul, if you desire God's salvation, remember this blind man. Diligently use the means of grace God has afforded you. Make it your business. Make it your business to be found in the place, the one place, where the Lord Jesus has promised His presence all the time. One place, it's where you are tonight. In the house of God's saints. Not listening to me on tape or on television. God didn't promise His presence there. Tapes and radio broadcasts, television broadcasts, those things are great use of means to minister to folks who can't do otherwise. But don't presume that you're going to get the same thing listening to the tape, watching the television, as you do in this place. In this place. The Lord Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I'll make you a promise. I'll make you a promise. If you come in the assembly of His saints seeking Him, you'll find Him. If you come not seeking Him and you don't know anything about His presence, the problem is not that He's not here. That's not the problem. The problem is He's ignored. And where He's ignored, He often hides His face. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't do that. Don't despise the means of grace God has given you. Don't despise the preaching of the gospel, the reading of His word, prayer. Don't despise the assembly of God's saints in worship. Now, I've been pastoring for 35 years. Well, not 35, 34 years. And I'll tell you what my experience has been. Now, I know religious con artists. They go out and buttonhole folks and want to get them to make a profession of faith, and they'll tell you you're saved just because you say what they tell you to say. Tell you what I've never known. I'm not saying it never happened. Tell you what I've never known. I've never met a person who was converted outside the preaching of the gospel in the house of God. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I am saying the ordinary means God uses in saving His people is in the house of worship where He sends His word to His people. That's the ordinary means God uses. But preacher, don't we believe in God's sovereignty? Of course we do. Of course we do. I'm fully aware that every chosen, redeemed sinner, every man and woman predestined to eternal life shall at God's appointed time meet the Master at the place ordained of God from eternity. But I'm also fully aware that you and I are responsible for our souls. And we are responsible to use the means God has put at our disposal. The Lord Jesus, I know, is found of them who sought Him not. And I know this too. He is always found by those who seek Him. He's always found by those who seek Him. What wisdom this man displayed. He took up a hopeful position by the wayside. And there he would be likely to hear any good news that might be spread. There he was most likely to meet with and be seen of the compassionate. Though he was blind, he wasn't deaf. And he sat down by the wayside, and all he could do was listen. He couldn't see. He couldn't grope around and feel his way anywhere. All he could do was listen. But listen he did. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Now here's the third thing. We have before us a picture of the blessed violence of faith. We're told in Matthew chapter 11, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Look at verses 38 and 39. He cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, it looks to me like anybody who knew anything about the Master would be tickled to death. Oh, here's somebody crying to the Savior for mercy. Honoring Him as God, our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. And they which went before, folks like us, who had seen His miracles, who had eaten bread broken by His hands, rebuked Him. Oh, God, keep me from that. They told Him to hush. They told Him to hush. Don't be so noisy. You're disrupting things. We can't hear what's going on. Why, you're just a poor blind beggar who pays any attention to you. You're down here on the other side of the streets. You're too dirty. You're too blind. You're too ignorant. You can't be serious. We can't take you serious. Hush. But after all, you haven't expressed any felt need. You don't seem to have any real sense of your need of the Master. You seem to be unaware of why He's come. What a great man, what a great person, what a great God He is. You're just ignorant. So hush! But you know what He did? He seems to have totally ignored them. He makes no response. He just ignores them. And the Master ignored them. Because what they said and what they did was utterly meaningless except for being cruel and mean. He wasn't about to be stopped by the rebukes of people who knew nothing of His misery. He was determined, if mercy could be had, to have mercy. And His importunity in His utter weakness, crying to the Savior for mercy, continually crying after Him, though he was discouraged in every way from doing so, his importunity was rewarded. The Master said to him, what is it you want? He said, Lord, I just want to see. Well, that wasn't a very good motive for coming, was it? Why, there's much higher motives for calling on the Son of God than that. There are much more noble reasons to call on Him than that. But he believed Him, Rex. And he said, what I want from you is to see. And the Lord Jesus said, receive your sight. And His next word was, I'm going to give you more than you asked for. Thy faith hath saved thee. And He wasn't just talking about your faith has cured your blindness. He's telling him, your faith has given you more than that. You are a saved man, and I know that because the next thing we read, immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus and gave praise to God. He believed the Son of God, and he would not be put to silence until he obtained the mercy he desperately needed. Now listen to me. Our need is indescribably greater than this man's was. The blindness of the heart is indescribably more grievous than blindness of the eye. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, still passes by. He is not far from you. He is not far from you. David, he's right here, right now. Did you hear me? Let's look and see. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul is telling us how the Jews stumbled over the stumbling stone, Christ Jesus and him crucified, going about to establish their own righteousness because they're ignorant of this fact. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now in verse 6, Romans 10, the righteousness which is of the law, he's been describing, they say, what should be done? But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What saith it? Faith doesn't say what needs to be done. No, no. What does faith say? The word is nigh thee. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Blessed son of God, have mercy on me. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes with reference to righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made with reference to salvation. I'm reading it exactly as it ought to be read. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shaken, confused, frustrated, or embarrassed shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's this blind man calling on the name of the Lord. His words express much more than they state. To call on his name is not simply to cry, Jesus, save me, but it is to worship him, the Lord, Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, as he is. Worshiping him now. Fall down where you are right now and worship him, and salvation's yours. That's the teaching. Back to our text, Luke 18. Why will you die when life is to be had freely? Why will you perish under the wrath of God when he delights in mercy? Why will any rush headlong to hell when the door of heaven is open and God himself says, come up hither? Why will you go on carrying the guilt of sin when the Lord God is a God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin? Why will you die for thirst when the water of life is right before you? Why will you perish for hunger when the bread of life is in the midst of you? Why? Our Lord says, ye will not come to me that you might have life. That's why. If you go to hell, it will be because you will not come to Him. Oh, God, graciously force sinners and force me to come to You. Now, there's something here in this blind man's cry about prayer. I don't know much about prayer. Don't pretend to. Oh, I can't tell you how that pains me. But this I know. Wherever true prayer is found in the heart, wherever God Almighty puts prayer in a man's heart, these four things will be found. Faith. He believed the report he heard. Jesus. Lord Jesus, Thou Son of David. And humility. He knew his need. And he knew there was nothing he could do about his need. He was blind. He had always been blind. And there was no cure for his blindness. Not by men. Second, importunity. This man was like Jacob. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I won't quit knocking at your door till you give me the bread I need. I won't quit crying for mercy till you give me the mercy I need. And wherever there's true prayer, there's this fourth thing. Perseverance. The man needed mercy. He knew that Christ could give mercy he needed. He knew that he might never get this opportunity again. And therefore, the opposition he met with was hardly noticed by him. He continued to seek mercy. Here's another thing. We see here a display of our Savior's great compassion to needy sinners. When I talk about his compassion, I'm not just talking about an emotion. I'm just not just talking about a feeling. Compassion. Co-passion. Felt empathy. Compassion for needy sinners. How do you know what compassion is? You read it by its deeds. Look what the Savior did for it. He calls this man to need him. He calls him to need him. Oh, blessed, wise, and good grace of our great, wise, and good God. He calls this man to be blind. Oh, blessed. Second, our Savior sent somebody to tell this man about himself. Do you have any idea what multitudes there are this night in this world? This night in this town who have never heard anybody tell who he is. But he's called you here. He sent somebody to tell you who he is. And third, the Savior passed by where this man was. At the appointed time of love, he passed by on his way to Jerusalem as he was coming into Jericho. And then we read, Jesus stood. He came to the man. He heard his cry, and he stopped. As if to say, I will make not another step until I've answered this man's cry for mercy. As if to say, I will stand right here, God, who waits to be gracious, until this man has found my grace. And he commanded the man to be brought to him. He called him. had to call him? He said, you go get that fella and bring him right here. Oh, this is when sinners come to Christ. This is when you'll come to him. When he, on the authority of his finished work, as our covenant surety, commands his spirit and says, go fetch him. Just as David said concerning Mephibosheth, go down to Lodibar and fetch him. He commanded the man to be brought to him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And when the man was brought to him, the Lord Jesus spoke grace to his soul. Spoke peace to him. He said, what is it you want? I just want to see. And the master said, receive your sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And I love the order in which Luke, by divine inspiration, records this. The master said to him, all right, I'm going to give you what you asked for. Now hang on to your seat. Your faith has saved you. And when he heard that, immediately he received his sight. He followed the Lord Jesus and glorified God. The Lord Jesus was honored by this man's faith. And he honored his faith with salvation. And then he went up to Jerusalem and redeemed him. Passages like these are intended by God specifically to encourage needy souls to come to Christ. You may be aware that you have great weakness and infirmity. You may say, well, Brother Don, I don't know much. I'm afraid I'm too ignorant. You may think, well, I don't feel like I ought to feel as one coming to Christ. You may imagine that your sins are so great that you cannot come to Him. Your prayers poor and stammering. Your motives may be far from perfect. But I'm here to tell you that if you come to Christ with all your sin, casting away every confidence but Him, if you commit your soul to Him, He declares, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Here's a fifth thing. I'll just touch on it. Because I've already dealt with it somewhat. Faith always gets what it needs. Faith always gets what it needs. Now let me tell you what faith needs. Let me tell you what faith needs. I'm not talking about lust. James says we pray and ask amiss that we may consume things on our lust because we want something to satisfy our lust. Let me tell you what faith needs. Tell you what faith needs. Faith needs mercy. Don't need anything else. Just mercy. Just mercy. That's all. That's all. And faith always gets it. Now one more thing. Look at verse 43. And learn this. Nothing inspires obedience to Christ like mercy experienced. Nothing inspires obedience to Christ like gratitude and love. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. When this blind man was given sight, when he was saved by Christ, he followed the Lord Jesus, glorifying God. His gratitude was deeply felt. His love was spontaneous. And his following of Christ was spontaneous.
Nobody was there to tell him, well, now you ought to love him.
Nobody was there to tell him, now this is how you ought to live now. No. No, immediately, spontaneously, he follows the Master in the way. The Pharisees cavilled at him. The Sadducees sneered at his barbaric doctrine. The lawyers, those who taught the law, they derided him as a base antinomian. But this man paid no attention to any of it.
He paid no attention to the Pharisees. He paid no attention to the Sadducees.
He paid no attention to the doctors of law. He had met the Master. This newborn soul had the witness of Christ in himself. And he had the witness in himself that this is a Master worth following. He could say, I know this. Once I was blind, but now I see.
He left home that morning in his rags,
I presume dirty, seldom bathed, poor man, blind, ignorant, lost, and dead. He went home that day, clean and rich and living and seeing, an heir of God. That's what I call mercy. And mercy on me. Grace experienced in the soul is the source of true obedience. Gratitude is the source of godliness. Love is the rule of devotion. The fact is, no one will ever take up the cross and confess Christ. Not really. You may get a little dose of religion, but you won't follow Christ. Who does not feel in the depths of his soul that he's head over heels, debtor to Christ and his mercy. We love him who first loved us, because he washed away our sins in his own precious blood. The fact is, Christ has redeemed me. He came to where I was in my desperate need. He calls me to have a need. And he calls me in that need to cry out to him for mercy, and he answered the need. I'm his. And I like it that way. What could be more reasonable? What could be more reasonable? Oh, may God be pleased now, for Christ's sake, to give you sight who are blind, to give you faith who believe not, and to give grace to us all, that we may this day forward follow Christ, giving glory to God. God grant it for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's see if we can sing that great, great hymn found on page 235, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.